Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Winston, feeling the pressure, football is loose. It is picked up by Deron Payne.
I hear you, Spiro Dedis, CBS, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Second hour of 4.5 underway. Welcoming in now our Richmond audience for the next 3 hours, 9, 10 a.m., 105.1 FM, wherever you're at, in and around D.C. on the flagship, 106.7. We appreciate it. Remember to take us with you. Run into the store. Have to do something, hit pause, rewind. The Odyssey app is the way to do that. You can listen coast to coast all over the country each and every day to Grant and Danny. On these Mondays after games, football Mondays are presented by Chenega Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. Not all bad. There's a lot more gassers than game balls, for sure, as we're going game balls and gassers with you on the phones. It hadn't been all bad. There are game balls to be had. I thought Matt Ioannidis was awesome.
When he's healthy, he's really helpful.
He had, I think, 26 plays where he was a pass rusher, and he had 6 pressures. Like, that's a ridiculous rate. Really, really good. Deron Payne had some nice moments, including his sack. John Allen forced the Jameis Winston interception to Holcomb. Obviously, Chase Young. We applaud you, sir, for your sack fumble. You did it. You're on the board in 2021.
There we go.
But again, the breakdowns. And it wasn't just 2 plays like Ron Rivera said it was. Those were the 2 worst plays, clearly. I'll agree there. 72-yard, 49-yard touchdown passes. Horribly defended. But there were 23-yard touchdown run where Jamin Davis is out of position and nobody touches Alvin Kamara. There's a 19-yard pass to Kamara out of the backfield where nobody was near making a tackle.
The touchdown to Callaway, where he went to the left.
Like the 3 receivers?
Yeah, and everybody looked at each other, and it was like, oh, it's just communication. Oh, I'm sure that's all it is.
I don't know if that was like a wheel or an out and up, but basically he was inside of a 3 receiver set, like a trips to the left, and they were in man. And so they had William Jackson across from him, and 2 dudes run up, and Jackson's trying to come through bodies and gets lost in the sauce. It's the easiest throw and catch ever, and no one's near the receiver again on the touchdown.
The pace that they were going through that play looked like a walkthrough, whether installing it.
Totally.
Like, it wasn't as if Callaway was, like, sprinting to a spot, made a move. It was sort of like, I'm just a decoy. I'm going to jog to the left to make sure I occupy a defender. Oh, my God, I'm wide open by 25 yards.
That guy's, like, 4-4-1 or whatever. Mm-hmm. He probably ran, like, a 5-2-3.
Yes.
To the end zone.
He ran a Rich Eisen speed to the end zone.
Let's go to the phones. Kevin's in Arlington. Hey, Kev, what's up, bro?
Hey, brothers. You guys have pretty much gotten it through my gassers and game balls, but I do want to just make a gasser comment, and it goes to Rivera. I mean, he's trying to control the narrative, and that's the most panicked I've seen him at a presser. And I'm thinking to myself, you think today's questions are tough? When do we get to next Monday after the Chiefs game? Or the following Monday after the Packers game? I mean, I don't know, Grant. I'm really at the lowest point of my fandom.
You sound down.
Oh,
you sound so dejected right now.
Well, this is why. We can only hope for reject retreads.
And if you look at Rivera's track record in the last 5 years, you look at the two Martys' track record in the last 5 years, you look at Del Rio's, you start seeing some of the players they thought they had. You look at our quarterback room. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was bad enough to me on draft night. We didn't trade to try and get Mac Jones. So, okay, we're going to get a linebacker. We know we've got problems at linebacker. So let's go get JOK. No, we get Davis, who had 1 year where he flashed. And it's like I had the same feeling when we drafted him that I did with Doxson, because I just didn't know him. I hadn't seen enough, and I don't know, man. I don't know where they think they're going, but they're nowhere close to being anything. I mean, he's 9-13, Jay Gruden numbers. It's bad, boys. But hey, the Caps start Wednesday night. Can't wait.
Let's go, Caps.
Tom Wilson's gonna fight a bunch of dudes on Wednesday night. The Rangers went and signed everybody who gets into fights in the NHL because they're afraid of Tom Wilson. So Wednesday night, Tommy better get ready for a fight card with three or four bouts on it. Yeah, look, we talked about this in the offseason, and mostly I got screamed at for this. I happen to like Ron Rivera as a person. I do. If he was sitting next to me, I would tell him that. And then I would say this. If you take that 15-1 season away, the NFC Championship year where he got to the Super Bowl, as a coach in this league, he is under 500. I'm sorry. That's a fact. That year, Cam Newton was an MVP, put that organization on his back, and he was incredible. He played at a level at that position. We've really never seen a guy do that with his size and his ability to move and run. And look, Ron Rivera was there when they drafted him. I'm not saying he doesn't get any credit for that season. People got really upset and said, how can you give him no credit? It's not that I'm giving him no credit. My point is, occasionally there's a magical carpet ride season, right? It just kind of happens. Like Davey Martinez and the Nats win the World Series. Davey, if you take that crazy run from like 19-31.
Yeah, 110 games away, basically.
Right. It's been a really rough time here, but you live on that for a while. Ron Rivera, in my opinion, gets to benefit from, don't draw me a map unless you've been there before. I coached in the Super Bowl. I'll draw you the map. Well, good thing we don't say don't draw me a map unless you've won a Super Bowl before as a coach, because he wouldn't get to draw a map. He can draw a map because he was on the 85 Bears. But my point is, all I ever wanted was to stop pretending like everything Ron Rivera says we can't question.
Yeah, that's where I am.
That's where I jump in. I think he is an adult. I think he's a pro. I think he's a good football man. I think he's a good human being. But all offseason, you guys, wouldn't let anybody say, hey, wait a second, real quick. Are we sure about this?
We sure they should have let Kerrigan walk and Morgan Moses go? Are we sure?
The fact is, if you look at the winning percentages, it looks a lot like a lot of the other guys here. And he's got more control, and he's got more power, and he's bringing in people that, you know, share an agent with him to run the front office who weren't getting those jobs elsewhere, or people that hired him to be a head coach years ago who weren't getting those jobs elsewhere. And everyone just kind of rolls with the punches. And it's like, well, you know, in Ron we trust. All I ever wanted was, can we just have some conversations? Can we just talk about this a little bit? And we weren't allowed to.
Yeah,
sounds like now we're allowed to.
Yeah, I'll take this. Even what's happening right now, as frustrated and ticked off as I am, I will take this 1,000 times out of 1,000 before Bruce Allen's making any football decisions. I'll take this 1,000 times out of 1,000 before Vinny Serrato, a B-movie actor, is making football decisions. This is a football guy. Now, they're still not doing it correctly where they have a general manager and a head coach. Dan Snyder just invented this coach-centric thing, this term that nobody really uses. When you have that, a coach with that's got a lot of juice, you still have a good general manager. Right? Not a guy that basically works at his pleasure. This is Ron Rivera's show. This is not the correct way to do it, but it's way closer to the correct way than the alternative, which is 20 years of abject boobery that Dan Snyder is allowed to fester in his asshole of an organization. So yeah, I'll take this every time if I've got a choice. The point is, there's still a way better way to do it. There's better roster building. There's more efficient roster building. There's smarter allocation of resources. And nobody's allowed to chime in and bring that up because in Ron we trust or you're a hater. I think now everybody's waking up to the idea that, wait a minute, maybe he's not Bill Walsh 2.0. Maybe this isn't Belichick reincarnated. Maybe he's just a guy that's a good football person, a good man who may have bitten off more than he can chew.
409 winning percentage for Ron Rivera if they lose to the Chiefs will be lower than the winning percentage Jay Gruden had here for 6 years.
You guys hated his guts. Never forget that.
Couldn't stand Jay Gruden. Now, I'm not comparing the two human beings, okay? I know that Jay's in a video or, you know, he's sitting on a street talking to someone. Like, you guys loved making fun of Jay Gruden. They're two very different people. What I'm telling you is, if Ron Rivera's Washington football team loses to the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, Jay Gruden will have had a higher winning percentage here, inheriting a 3-13 team when the everything was lit on fire at the end of 2013 from Mike Shanahan to the end of his time here. And that goes with the 0-5 before he got blown out. So if you just talk about the actual seasons where he got to coach through issues and finish the year and see where he stood, it wouldn't even be particularly close at that point. Let's go to Kevin and Lanham on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, Kevin?
What's going on, guys? Love you guys. Man, you guys make it better to listen to what's going on besides what you see on the field. I got two game balls and one gasser. Game ball to McLaurin, he's always on 100. No matter how bad the passes are coming to him, he's always 100. That kid is a baller.
I love him so much.
Always balling all the time. Second game ball to the opposing team. Thank you for buying my tickets because I am on the visitor side, and thank you for helping me make my money back and not feeling awful for spending money to watch this garbage on the field.
You weren't there.
The amazing. Gasser,
no, I wasn't there, nah, but I made my money back. The gasser, though, the arrogance and the ego of these coaches. You're called a head coach for a reason. If you saw Sean Payton on the sideline screaming and yelling at Jameis Winston about his play, and you see stone-faced Riverbone Ron sitting there with his face the same way, looking at the garbage on the field and not doing anything about it. I'm like, you came from Carolina. Okay, don't be mad because the media and the D.C. fans know about football, unlike the Carolina fans. We know football. So don't sit here and tell me what football is supposed to look like and just trust you and all this bull crap. Oh, hold up. Don't ask me such hard questions. Y'all not supposed to do that. No, this is not Carolina. Maybe the front office in Carolina knows more about our front office, but us fans know more about football than he does.
Appreciate you, dude.
I'm not a body language guy. I don't like when people will watch and be like, he looks lost, talking about a coach. Like Urban Meyer looks like he doesn't want to be there. I hate whatever that is. But I took notice on, Sean Payton got up Jameis Winston's you-know-what.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of times during that game. Just throws. There was one play where it was just a third down where he threw an incomplete. He was like on the move. It was a terrible pass. But they had a wide-open completion for a first down. And he like, I thought he was going to grab his face mask like a high school
coach. He's done, throw it. What do you do? Just throw the ball.
He went over
there. He's open. Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I'm not saying I need to or want to see that. That's not what I'm doing. But there is an absolute juxtaposition. I think Sean Payton's one of the best coaches in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he didn't have it. He saw something he didn't like, and he went over there, and he yelled at someone. I'm not saying you have to do it that way. There are coaches that don't. Like, Belichick, a lot of the time, is just very stoic and doesn't say a whole lot and stands there in a hoodie. But I'm not the only person that doesn't sound like that. Notice the difference between, hey, our quarterback keeps throwing these balls up for grabs and missing guys wide open and everything's late. And he didn't trust his eyes. You know, on some of these like quick stuff, you got McKissick. Now, what are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. And it's some of the stuff we commend him for. He extends a play, he rolls around, he scrambles, he gets 12, whatever. Throw the ball. It's
there. The first guy was open.
Just throw it. 2-point conversion. He's there. He's open. Throw it. There was a second and goal. I wrote it down. Let me pull it up real quick. I wrote it down in my diary to talk about it later. Let's see. Here we go. Missed touchdown to Milne Gibson, second and goal before the second field goal. So they had 3 points. It's second and goal from the 6-yard line. Milne is wide open in the back of the end zone coming across. Heinicke doesn't see him. And Gibson, if he would have just thrown it right away, may have gotten tackled at the goal line, but I think he just kind
of runs
a dude over and scores. Just a quick little, you've seen it a million times, little out to a back out of the backfield at the goal line. But he didn't do either of those things. He stood there. He waited. And we all kind of party. We're like, yeah, he extends plays. We haven't
He's
had
He's extending
this.
The play.
And we love that. It is a really good thing. But you don't always have to. If something's there, just make the throw. Let's go to Lou in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Lou.
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, man.
For me, nobody gets anything, man. I think it's pathetic. We saw on Sunday two coaches. You see one. You just literally talking about it. Sean Payton care about the game, and the other one just kind of laying, doesn't seem like he's engaged in the game. I mean, you know, it's just it's tough being a fan of this organization and this team, and I'm ready to tap out for the whole season. And
don't tap out yet, Lou. We need you, bud.
We need you, bud.
It's It's only been five games. Your pals need some people listening.
You can look at the draft boards. I'm starting to peek.
They got a good matchup this weekend. They're playing another 2-3 team at home.
Yeah, anybody can win.
It's a toss-up game between two teams with 2-1s. Who knows? By the end of the week, they could be favored. They're both 2-3 and they're at home, right? That's how it works.
It's a home game.
Don't you see? We could win that one, don't you know?
Well, they're 2-3 team.
Can I get your hopeful voice, guy?
Well, maybe for sure, a couple teams are struggling. Maybe it's your opportunity to get right. You could have a grand old showing there at home in front of the home faithful. A bunch of cheering fans adoring you, and everybody gets real excited, and a couple of Jets make some plays, and a formidable defensive front steps up there and stops the offensive juggernaut from doing what they want to do. It's a grand chance, I tell you, for redemption, and I believe in redemption stories. I do.
Ron Rivera was not disengaged. Like, that's the thing I don't like. And I'm not blaming Lou from D.C. Like, get your venting out, bro. I get it. Like,
yeah, today's the day.
Say whatever you want to say today. But I think professionally, I'm going to say these coaches work 20-plus hours a week. A week. Well, it looks like it. They probably actually do work. That was a 48
clip. I know what you meant, but that sounds so funny.
Yeah, they probably do. No, they work 20 hours a day, a lot of these guys. And, like, they're entirely invested, and they don't see their families. He wanted to win the game really badly. He just has a different way of going about it on the sideline than Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I kind of like young guys, even though he's not young. But Pete Carroll's not either. He acts like a young guy. Sean Payton acts like a young guy. Like, they get excited and run around and get up on people and scream at them when things aren't going good. I don't mind that. Mike Tomlin has a little bit of that in him. Like, he's mostly 100% stoic. You never really see anything.
Can't be bothered, yeah.
But every now and then, it builds and it builds and it builds. And the volcano erupts.
Yeah, I need something to chew on.
Let's go to Mark in Florida. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mac.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, dude.
Thanks for listening on the Odyssey app, bro.
Indeed. I've got about six gassers for Landon Collins. I am so tired of seeing the back of his jersey running, trying to catch up to anybody for anything, ever. He has no speed. You're called a safety for a reason. You're supposed to be the last one, not the one that's 10 yards away all the time.
I was thinking about what you were saying, and I agree wholeheartedly. I know that doesn't really come across on the medium as we talk for our job. I'm just sitting there thinking, yeah, I'm sick of it too. It's not totally fair, but it's also the reality of the world, right? When someone comes in with a high billing, a big dollar figure, it's your point with William Jackson. They paid him so much money. Landon Collins, it's the old regime, obviously, but this was a guy that was an all pro not that long ago. And it looks like he just can't do this. And it's so frustrating because you can't help but notice him.
Which is not a crime, right? I mean, right. He is not the player he was when he won an All-Pro. He wasn't before an injury. Now he ruptured his Achilles and he's coming back from that.
Yes.
It is what it is. By the way, that was Bruce Allen's last gift to this organization.
That's right.
That was a yacht pick. That was him and Dan. They were thrilled. This guy loves Sean Taylor, and we're going to take him out and give him a jersey, wine and dine him, and spend huge money. Josh Norman was the previous iteration of this where he ended up being on the bench. He was so bad. Landon Collins could be headed that way.
Should be, in my opinion.
If it doesn't continue. You know, I don't like singling out any one player on defense as, like, needing to be benched when everyone is playing badly. And it is all kind of working in hand, but there have been a lot of plays where I have to imagine in film study, he said, yeah, that one's on me.
Yeah, it's hard not to be more upset at the guys where more is expected.
Yeah, that's true. If you're making, you know, some of the highest dollars at your position in the league, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be more upset when you struggle than if Cam Curl struggles, as an example. Or Bobby McCain, who signed from Miami to, you know, come over here at a pretty cheap rate. But yeah, Landon Collins is the most expensive player on the team who is healthy right now. Brandon Scherff, who's a guard who gets hurt a lot, who they decided to spend $18 million on this year to rent at a position that is not that important, which should never be forgotten.
Roster building masterclass.
Unavailable. So there's that. But of the healthy players, Landon Collins is the highest paid guy on the team. Chris is in Hyattsville. Hey, Chris, how are you, brother?
Chris.
Hey, guys, how are you doing? Wow, you are really eviscerating the team, guys. I got a game ball for Antonio Gibson. I think he's the best back we've had, and especially the best red zone back the team has had since Clint Portis, maybe Terry Allen, and that great year he had with North Turner. Gassers to the entire coaching staff, especially Scott Turner and Del Rio. I thought that, you know, we know that we got a quarterback who's a little bit over his skis. He's missing three of his top wide receivers and his starting tight end. And then when they get in the end zone, it's all pass, where he's got to read through his progressions with, you know, a very short distance, which is difficult for a quarterback of his height. I would have tried to run the ball a little bit more with a guy who's got to pinch it for scoring every single time in Gibson. Also on those attempts for 2 points, I thought they were unimaginative calls. And the defense on the bomb, the Hail Mary, was just unforgivable. They have no timeouts in 8 seconds. Why didn't you have, you know, like what the Patriots do, you know, but they put Gronk in the end zone. The fans could have called a better defense than that. So I mostly put it on the coaching staff. I know Heinicke was playing hero ball a little bit, but I don't feel like it was he lost the game per se. So
it sounds like you're doing some eviscerating yourself there, Chris.
You guys are just – I mean, look, they actually have a better start this season than they did last season. Right, they started out 1-5.
Hold on, where do I get that trophy? Where can I go get that trophy? Are there banners there?
But Grant, you are also picking and choosing which things you're going to count. Like you said, well, if you take away Ron's 15-1 season, you can't. You can't take away a 15-1 season in the calculation of his overall career.
I understand, but you get the larger point, correct?
So, I'm just saying things are not as dire as I think they are. I mean, they're technically have a better record than they did this time last year. So,
but I don't understand. Last year they started out terribly and they built something sustainably. You said, we thought at the end of the year,
Their starting quarterback got injured. But, their starting tight end got injured.
But I thought this guy's top 15 in the league. I heard all last week this guy's top 15 in the league.
There are at least 6 or 7.
People don't want to put Fitzpatrick back in there anyway. Hold on. People don't want to play Fitzpatrick when he comes back anyway. So now we're using that as an excuse that he's hurt?
I'm not using it as an excuse. I'm saying there are at least 6 offensive starters who are injured right now.
I don't have a problem with their offense. It's top 10 in the league. I have a problem with their defense. Okay. They have a defensive-minded head coach.
Well, the offense, I don't know. I think the offense failed because they had lots of opportunities to score touchdowns and they didn't.
I agree. In this game, they weren't good. But
when you come with 7, yeah.
But you don't hear me eviscerating the offense. Because I'm a body of work guy. I'm a sample size guy. Yesterday, their offense was not good. I agree with you. Over the course of the season, I'm not crushing their offense. Their offense has surpassed my expectations. I think their offense has been a pleasant surprise, by and large. I'm upset with their defense. They have a head coach who was a longtime defensive coordinator who played in the league on defense, and a defensive coordinator who I think really highly of in that role, who has had answers, not created questions, for many, many years. Who himself has been a head coach, who was the head coach and, you know, acting head coach when Rivera wasn't available last year. Like, he's that kind of, he can run the building for a little while. Please figure this out. You draft players in the first round every year. The guy you just took in the first round can't play. What do you want me to do? You want me to just sit here and say, well, it's only 2-3. It's only 5 weeks. They are better than they were last year. Coming up next, the Capitals open on Wednesday night. What do you want me to do?
So the quick distinguished point I'd make is at this stage, their upcoming schedule was against Giants garbage, Cowboys garbage, Giants garbage, Lions garbage, Bengals garbage, Cowboys garbage. You see the theme.
Yeah, they played terrible teams last year.
Their tough part of the schedule was early last year. It was. You look at the data, how good the Cardinals were, Browns, Ravens, Rams, 3 really good teams. The only other good team they would play is Pittsburgh, who ended up just falling off a cliff last year. That's not the case this season.
I want to get back into this because we got to take a break, but I want to continue with this idea of, like, what should we be saying and doing right now? If this is too much, right? If this is an overreaction, this is year 2 of Rivera. They established something last year. And they spent the offseason saying they were planning on adding to it. How should exactly we be reacting right now? That's what I'd be curious to know. 800-636-1067 if you guys want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hitting your thoughts, your calls on the phones, 800-636-1067. Football Monday presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com. View open positions and apply today. Washington football team loses a home game 33-22. By the way, they haven't won consecutive games at home since October of 2018. It's been 3 years. I was thinking about season ticket holders because my wife is one, and she came back to the game. Like, it's tough, man. It's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
I work, obviously, at the games, but you know, people can – I don't bring this up to complain as much as to say this is stuff that people go through. Like, if you go to games with kids, you're hiring a babysitter. You're doing things, right? Or just in general, you're investing time
it's a big
energy
production.
And effort. And it's not like a baseball game where you get off work at 5 and you hop on the metro and you're there at 7 and you roll out at 9:50 or whatever. This is an all-day thing that people do. And they haven't seen Washington win back-to-back games at home in 3 calendar years.
So if you saw a win and you want to go next week, you're going, should I?
That bodes well for this coming week against the losing team.
Yeah. I mean, it's a couple 2-3 teams going at it.
They play a 2-3 team that looked terrible last night.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing could go wrong in their matchup. Let me see what team. With Kansas City, the Chiefs.
Oh.
With the Chiefs. Oh, it's the Chiefs.
They'll have something to play for, I'd imagine.
Our buddy, Chris in Hyattsville, calls in a lot. Good little sparring partner of ours. Nice little foil at times for the show, frankly. But a guy who's plugged in and is a big sports fan in town. And frankly, you know, it's fandom like his that makes this platform and our show work. And I'm a big fan of his. But he just said something that has me thinking. Because I am always trying to be somewhat introspective and try to gauge, are we pushing the envelope? Are we going too far? Are we too upset? It's early in the season. You know, it's only been 5 games. And he said, you guys are... I think the word he used was eviscerating them. Not individual players necessarily. I can point out a lot of guys whose games I liked yesterday. Terry McLaurin, one of those guys, comes up at 4 o'clock on Grant and Danny. But his point is you're being way too hard on them, and he said they have a better record than they had at this time last year. It's true that last year they were 1-4 through 5, and this year they're 2-3. Although, I could point out that they missed a kick against the Giants, and a penalty was called that probably wasn't a penalty. And because of an untimed kick and a second opportunity, that's how they're 2-3, or else they'd have the same record that they had last year. Their schedule ahead this time versus last time is very, very different, though.
Oh, it's night and day. Last year, they played 5 winning teams. One of those teams, Arizona, beat the brakes off them, by the way, within the first couple weeks. But of their 5 games against winning teams last year, 3 of them came within their first 5 games. That was pretty much it until you got to Seattle and Pittsburgh. And we know Pittsburgh kind of wasn't themselves, but they were winning teams. Everyone else, big fat losers on their schedule. They took advantage of that. To their credit, they deserve credit for that.
Yeah, and I want to applaud them and give them credit for how they finished last year. They deserve it. They played really hard. They played well. And they won a terrible division.
This year, 7 of their final 12 games are against teams with winning records right now. All teams that are in the hunt or good. There are another 2 games of teams that don't have winning records. That's Kansas City and Seattle that they have to play. So you would probably figure you'll get a pretty good punch from both of those teams, starting with Kansas City this week.
If Russell Wilson's back, that's a whole different game.
It's a different ball game.
If it's Geno in Seattle, you should probably win that game.
Yeah, or you'd feel like you'd have a good chance. There are 3 games left this year, basically, where you might say the team maybe has a chance to be favored, although I wouldn't count on it, but they could be. 2 Philadelphias and 1 Giants. Those are the even toss-up games that remain for them.
I am, for people that listen to this show for a long time, for many years, or just regularly, I think you know I'm pretty like big picture in how I view things and stoic. A lot of times you'll be very reactionary and angry. I'm not mad today. I was really mad when they lost a couple weeks ago, the way that they lost. I'm not upset after yesterday necessarily. There's a couple plays that infuriated me. But I thought New Orleans would beat them. They're better. I know how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
To say, though, that we shouldn't be frustrated with the big picture, way this is all trending, they had a raid at their team facility last week. We haven't really talked a whole lot about that. Their head trainer is under federal investigation.
So is their second trainer, right?
Well, I was getting there.
I'm sorry.
The assistant to that head trainer is no longer with the team either. He's being investigated. Now, the team put out a statement saying that wasn't a team issue. It's a team issue when you got guys getting carried off the field to get treated, Sam Cosmi, or Curtis Samuel. We don't know if he can play or not. Like, who is handling this situation? That happened last week. Judge us not on our past, judge us on our future. That was last week. And I'm not doing the, well, they're better than they were last year thing. They're about the same. They should be 1-4 right now if they didn't get an extra play on that field goal. So, sorry if I'm not willing to throw a party for that, but I'm not. Do I like some things they've got going on? Yes. But they will be going into year 3 of Ron Rivera, and they're probably going to have to still address the quarterback position. And if you sign a kid out of the draft who you take in the first round, that's a multi-year process. Look at Zach Wilson, who I love. I think he's going to be really good. He's not right now. You don't just bring a young guy into the NFL and all of a sudden that's the year you turn it around. So now we're getting to year 4 if you do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go get a veteran, okay, that's a different story. But it's not easy to do that. They tried to get Matt Stafford. They made a really good attempt to do that. Another team was able to swoop in and do a little bit better. That could happen the next time you try. Let's go to Josh in Fredericksburg. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing? I do not think that we're being too hard on this team. Like Danny said, oh, don't give up on the team. We're peeking into the draft. Let's just peek into the draft. I got no faith in the draft at this point. It's the Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio show. Let's not get a quarterback that we've needed for 30 years. Let's go get a Chase Young. And then we wait till next year. Oh, well, let's not get a quarterback again. 47 quarterbacks, numbers approximate. Let's get a linebacker that can't even get on the field. And I have no faith in Jack Del Rio to do anything different next week or the week after that or the week after that. He does the same thing, just like Ron Rivera, hard-headed, doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the game yesterday. I keep saying this, though. I guess my frustration was there was a lot of, like, all off-season feeling like something had happened or they'd arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people bought in. And maybe I just have some anger at that.
That's part of that. You know, listen, like, that's human nature.
I'm so annoyed by the constant acting like you've arrived or done something when you haven't. And those of us who have been here before, it was a different coach or it was a different collection of players.
Yeah, we've got that history.
Or it was a different young safety who looked great or mm-hmm. whatever. The rug got pulled out, the football, you know, I swung and kicked, Charlie Brown style, and the ball got pulled away. Like, we all saw it coming from a mile away. So part of it is just the built-up frustration from that. But it's also these things that matter. It's the fact that you picked a linebacker in the top 20 who can't play in yesterday's game for more than a dozen snaps when your linebacking core is decimated.
It's depleted. This is the thing I care. It's emblematic of what's going on
like
here.
That, you can win against the Chiefs next weekend. That's not getting fixed. You had a few of those things up, and it's a big, 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 big issue.
That's where I tend to put my focus. In individual moments, I'll get frustrated or mad. I'll yell some stuff. But to me, I always, always, always harp on the big picture. What's the point of all this? You and I have in our conversations, people calling us on the phone. The point is, we're all trying to figure out a roadmap for them to be great. We're just having conversations. All we want is a damn championship. All we want is for this team to be really, really, really good.
We haven't been there before. We shouldn't draw that roadmap.
There's no roadmap. I was there one time, and I didn't really have anything to do with it. I just cheered really loud. But that's all we want is greatness. And when you see them exit off the road going, no, that's not the path to greatness, and your face is pressed up against the glass, and you're screaming, go back to the road. This is stupid. Don't do that. That's the feeling of frustration. So when you're veering off into this path and tell me, trust me, I know best, the road ends, the car breaks down, you're stuck in the jungle fending for your life with a machete and a canteen with water you can't drink because it's got those parasite worms in it. That's where we are now. I saw this coming. I said, don't do this. And here we are. Because you said everything. You're 100% right. That we know better. Well, we like this guy better than everyone else does in the draft. That's usually a great sign here in Washington. That always works out. I know what that looks like when you've got a higher grade on someone than everybody else does. That guy turns out terrible. Here we are, right? It's so exasperating because you've seen the signs before as a fan. It's unfair to the regime there right now because they don't have that baggage. I've got that baggage.
Well, and I give them the benefit of the doubt initially. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know more than Rivera or anyone on that staff
sure,
that drafted a player. So when they drafted Jamin Davis, here's what I can do. Okay, here's what I'm able to do. I have access to people in the NFL, and I have access to people based on having been on a beat and covering the league for many, many years who I consider to be smart with other organizations. So I can hit them up, and a guy who runs a draft room can tell me, we had a third-round rate on that guy.
Yep.
I can't believe they did that. And I can go, oh, boy. Oh, whatever. I'm going to be excited. Because we'll have him on the show. He's fast. They tell me he can cover. They talk about how well he handled Kyle Pitts. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But when you see what your eyeballs are telling you about this guy, how long do you want me to pretend? Like, how long do I have to just say, well, doesn't matter what I'm seeing. They're probably right. We did that. We have kind of given that grace period, I believe. Last year, they won a division. People like to hang their hat on that. If this Cowboys team, you know, let's say Dak doesn't get hurt, but if this team was in that division last year, they'd have been five games better than Washington probably in the division. By the way, that's with the sweep of Dallas last year when Dak didn't play in either of those games.
Mm-hmm.
So that could potentially then be a 5-11 season with the Cowboys being really good. Or let's just split the difference and say 6-10. How much different do you feel then? I mean, now you add in the Eagles game where they just stopped trying to beat Washington in week 17 or week 16, whatever that was. He said, we don't want to win this game.
It's more important to Nate Sudfeld get a look.
Gonna screw us over. Let's let these. Now, we can keep playing that game. There's no reason to today. But I just think we got to really think long and hard about where this thing is headed in the big picture is all. And be as fair as possible. I think we pride ourselves on trying to be fair on this show. Point out the good, point out the bad. Terry McLaurin comes up 18 minutes from now. You can't get me. You can't pay me to say a negative word about that guy. That's what it looks like. I don't have enough of those guys. That's what it looks like when you hit on a third-round pick who's a baller. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just a blip or something more revealing? Get into that coming up in about 35 minutes. Also, in our 5 o'clock hour, some of the coaching decisions that were frustrating. What did you think about 4th and 10, going for that instead of kicking a 53-yard field goal?
So I'm weird in that I love keeping possession whenever possible.
Too. Not 4th and 10, though.
Yeah.
My quarterback can't complete passes.
Yeah, 4th and 10 I thought was a little much. I didn't hate it as much as some might, though.
4th and 5, cool. I actually think more coaches should do that. Ask Brandon Staley. He does it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
4th and 10. Not to mention, it's like a day where you're designing a shot for a guy who's 2 for 14 from three.
Right. Yeah.
And they almost got it because McLaurin almost made an unbelievable catch on the sideline.
Because he's unbelievable.
Throw was a hair late. He almost got his second foot down. It's a game of inches and he couldn't. Good play by Lattimore in coverage. But surprised by that. Was surprised by the end of half offense where they just ran it three times, including 3rd and 8. Mike Zimmer must have been on the phone telling Ron Rivera what to do there.
Whatever that guy's name is, Gilligan or Billiken or Michael Milliken's the greatest punter alive. It's greatest punter I've ever seen in my life.
What punter has ever had a better game than that?
He should like get a nice little mini parade when they get back to the facility. Like give him Princess Zamunda rose petals. He won him that game. He was unbelievable.
I'll bet you he's going to be the special teams player of the week.
He ought to be.
He was great. Mark Largo, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, dude.
That's good. Look, Danny, if I can recall, what was we doing the day after the draft? We were complaining that they didn't trade up to get Justin Fields, correct?
I said Fields, Mac Jones, any attempt to get a quarterback for me. Yeah, that's what it was. Yep.
I said stick to Fields. What did Fields do yesterday? He won a game for him against Chicago. Now, you know, see, I'm listening to Grant and what he's saying about everything else. See, here's the frustration. If y'all know me, I've been saying since April, this was going to happen. Until we get a quarterback, guys, it doesn't matter what we do. Look, I love Taylor Heineke. I do. I love him. Guys, he lost the game for us yesterday. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. When the team has the ball 36 minutes, when you run 21 more plays than New Orleans, that's the reason why Sean Payton was in Jameis Winston's face. You know why? Because he felt, just like everybody else, he felt sooner or later Washington's going to beat us up in the second half because our defense is getting tired. But you know what we didn't do? Thank you, Scott Turner. We didn't run the damn ball enough. So if y'all don't want to eviscerate the offense, it's fine. But yesterday, the offense needed to be eviscerated. When you have the ball for 36 minutes, everybody and their mom wins that game by at least 2 touchdowns. And you give up and you give up 21 more plays than they do? I get the bad plays that the defense did. Look, the defense is the defense is. It's just like Forrest Gump. Stupid is, stupid does.
You're not wrong, Mark. And the offense appreciate yesterday you. Was bad. I referenced a couple things early on in the show that I had jotted down, including – they took the field for the first time, 1st and 10 from the 31.
What a gift.
Basically, in the strike area, as Kyle Shanahan calls it.
Not only is it not an opening drive touchdown, which is what we've gotten accustomed to, before you get your beverage and sit down comfortably, yeah. The other team's already gone 10 plays for 80 yards and a touch.
Their scoring drive was 4 plays, 5 yards.
Yeah.
And they kicked the field goal. They just happened to already be in field goal range. So that's actually 3 points from the defense, as far as I'm concerned. Otherwise, they had multiple other possessions that started inside the 50. Including one where they turned the ball over and didn't get any points. Their touchdown to get off the schneid and stop kicking field goals came after a 3-and-out when there was a roughing the punter and then a 16-yard penalty on a pass interference. So it was back-to-back plays and 31 free yards, and they started first and 10 from the 18-yard line in the red zone. So yes, their offense yesterday was not good, and it was because the quarterbacking they got from Taylor Heinicke was very, very bad. And that's why the offense wasn't good enough yesterday. Pretty simply, as far as I'm concerned.
29 carries for their running backs, too. It's hard for me to say they didn't run the ball enough. I mean, they gave Gibson 20 carries for 60 yards. It's not as if the Saints just let him go.
I thought they ran it plenty. That's a career high, by the way, tying 20 carries from Antonio Gibson. And when you only have 60 yards, I actually think you're beating your head against the wall, maybe trying really, really hard, maybe too hard to try to run the football if you were Scott Turner. But it worked in the second half because he just said, I can't trust Heinicke right now. I got to do something. And they got that jet action going with Carter and handed it off to Gibson. Terry McLaurin is going to join us next. We got a lot to ask him about after this game. He's always fantastic with us. Spread the word. Let people know we're about to talk to Terry on the Fan right here on Grant and Dane at the top of the hour at 4.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.